A family decided that they were going to eat healthier. So one of the things they did was eat turkey franks, turkey ham, turkey bacon, and turkey burgers. And then it came to be Thanksgiving Day. Mother prepared the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. When they all sat down to eat, the little daughter looked up at her mother and said, "Is this turkey or turkey?" In other words, is this a real turkey or some other kind of turkey? Which leads me to ask, when we meet together on Thanksgiving around the table and thank the Lord, is this real Thanksgiving? Let me explain. I think there are different kinds of Thanksgiving. One I would call custom or manners. That's the kind your mother taught you. You're to say thank you. And so it's just a custom we have. We say thanks to people who serve us in some way or give us something. I think when it comes to believers, we thank the Lord when the circumstances warrant it. When the Lord has answered prayer, or we just are grateful for something he's done, in those circumstances, we are taught and we do thank the Lord, right? But is that real thanksgiving? Let me ask the question another way. What is biblical thanksgiving? What would the scripture teach us is the real thing? Well, that's what I want us to think about today. So would you join me in looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where I'm going to begin reading with verse 16. 1 Thess 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to focus on one verse, and that's verse 18. Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And I would like to make some very simple observations. You might call this my preposition sermon, because each of these points I want to make have to do with a preposition. The first observation is simply this. Biblical thanksgiving is thanksgiving that comes from the heart. Now, these verses don't say that. They just ooze that. For example, it's rejoice evermore, always. Well, that's obviously coming from the heart. Prayer, if it's done properly, comes from the heart. And so I take it that in verse 18, when he says in everything give thanks, he means that's from the heart as well. But that is confirmed by the fact that he says, this is the will of God. What is the will of God? That we thank him, and I want to just insert, based on other passages of Scripture, that we do that from the heart. Isaiah chapter 29 has God telling us that some draw near with their mouth. Listen to the next part of the verse. They honor me with their lips. But then he says, their hearts are far from me. Now, God wants us to draw near with our mouth, honor him with our lips, thank him with our words, but he wants it from the heart. So you can perfunctory say thank you. You can publicly say thank you because it's the thing to do. Or you can spontaneously from the heart, a heart filled with gratitude, simply say, Lord, thanks. That is biblical thanksgiving. That in everything we give thanks from the heart, for that's the will of God concerning you. The second observation I would like to make is again something that's not stated in the passage, but given what I'm about to say will come up, so I thought I'd just address it up front. The verse says, in everything give thanks. Now, I'm going to explain that in a minute. But what I want to point out is it does not say for everything. However, another passage does. So that doesn't solve our problem. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that we give thanks for everything. Now, for some, that's a problem. You're to thank God for every individual thing that happened. I had a lady say to me once, does that mean you should thank God for sin? Well, obviously not. In the context of the book of Ephesians, which is all about our heavenly blessings, I don't think sin would be included in what Paul has in mind. I think he primarily has in mind all those blessings that God has given to us. On the other hand, I do think it's possible that we should thank God for things that we don't normally thank God for. And I say that for this reason. Romans 8:28, and you know the verse, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I've heard stories over the years of Christians who've experienced great tragedy, and lo and behold, they actually said, I thank God for that tragedy. How could you ever say you thank God for it? Well, I think the answer to that is you recognize that all things, including that tragedy, work together for good. And if you look at Romans 8 carefully, the good is that we be conformed to His Son. So maybe you could look back and say that some of those things that you thought were negative were very positive. That God used those things to help you grow, be conformed to the image of His Son. And in that sense, we can thank God for everything. I heard once the story of a shipwreck. The only survivor made it to a small, undeserted island, and there he managed to build a small hut, and somehow create a fire, and hunt for his food in hopes that someday he would be rescued. Days went by. Weeks went by. One day, while he was out hunting for food, as he came back and approached his little, very primitive hut, the fire he had built had gotten out, and the whole hut was going up in smoke. And he was devastated. He managed to sleep through the night. And the next morning, a ship shows up. They sent out a little rowboat to pick him up and bring him back. And he said, how did you know I was here? They said, we saw your smoke signal. Maybe your hut being on fire is a smoke signal. Maybe the negative things aren't as negative as we think. In the overall scheme of God, He is using those to conform us to the image of His Son. Now, that was preliminary. What I really want to say today is this. In everything, we are to give thanks. We're to do it from the heart, and perhaps in more cases than we are aware, for everything. But this text tells us we're to do it in everything. Obvious meaning is, in every conceivable kind of situation, in every circumstance of life, we are to give thanks for something. In sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, we are to thank God. And if you're a perceptive, knowledgeable believer in Jesus Christ, you can find something to thank God for. I mean, let's just start with all the ways He has blessed us. Have you been blessed? then you've got stuff to thank God for. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke on Wednesday night, and just recently we came to that, well, the rather well-known story of the Lord healing 10 lepers. And you know the story. 9 didn't come back, and 1 did. Now that works out to about 10%. And Jesus said, where's the other 90%? Now, here's a case where they all got blessed by God. All were unclean lepers. 9 were ungrateful lepers. 1 was an unusual leper. He came back, and the text says he glorified God, and he thanked Jesus Christ for his healing. Now I say we've all had the experience. We've all been healed of some leprosy, and we just need to thank God in that circumstance, in those good things that happen to us. I don't need to tell this congregation. We should thank God for our salvation. We should thank God for answers to prayer. We should thank God for our families and our friends and all those blessings that God has showered upon us. Amen and amen. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above. Every good gift comes from the hand of God. So what I want to do today is just stretch your brain a little beyond its normal borders. What are those good gifts God has given to you? Besides our salvation, besides those myriad of answers to prayer, and family and friends, what else has he given you? So let me ask a question or two. Do you have a roof over your head, food in your cupboard, clothes in your closet, a car in your driveway, and a job? All those are good gifts from the hands of God. I know we work for them. I understand that. But if you understand anything at all about the way life works from a biblical point of view, you know that God works and provides those things for us. So, here's my question. You ever thank God for your house? You ever thank God for the clothes in your closet? You ever thank God for the car in your driveway? You ever thank God for your job? I think people tend to look at those blessings that we have and compliment, in some cases, on us. They might say something like, that's a nice dress. You ever had anybody say that to you? I'm only speaking to the women. Or, that's a nice shirt, you know? Or, that's a nice car. You ever had anybody say that? Sure. But a biblically thinking Christian would say, thank you. I appreciate this. And in the heart there wells up, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the simple things of life, like a house and clothes and food. We 3 times a day are supposed to do that. But that's a blessing from God. And we're to thank him for it. And thank you for the job. Especially when you hear about so many people that need one these days. It comes from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. And in those circumstances where things are going well, we just ought to thank God from the heart. Thank him for those good and perfect gifts. There was a man who tells of going on a vacation. He took a camera and several rolls of film. This was before digital. And when he returned, his wife began to proudly show off the vacation photos. She had related her co-worker's reaction to her husband. They said all nice things about his pictures. After a few days, he noticed a reoccurring theme in what those friends of her were saying. They were saying, wow, your husband must have a really nice camera. He was disappointed. He wanted them to acknowledge what a good photographer he was, not what a good camera he had. So he said to his wife, why do people do this? Nobody looks at a painting and says, nice brushes. Nobody looks at a skyscraper and says, nice table. Nobody looks at a sculpture and says, nice chisel. What's wrong with these people? His wife looked at him and said, how often did you look at creation and say, nice work, God? When was the last time we did that? Lord, thank you for the sun that we enjoy more than most because we live in Southern California. Thank God for the stars at night, the full moon, the rain, which we so desperately need. In everything, give thanks. It needs to come spontaneously from the heart. When if you're just looking at life from biblical perspectives, you know God is at work, that good and perfect gifts come from God, and you just spontaneously say, Lord, thank you. But let me suggest that this text applies to every situation. Not just the good, but those we would call bad. You ever have bad days? And I'm not talking about a bad hair day. I'm talking about a genuinely bad day. You ever had any of those? Who hasn't? When Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, remember where he was? In prison. With the possibility that Nero would sever his head from the rest of his body. That was not what we would call a good day. Let me tell you how Paul handled that. He wrote letters, and in each of the four, he thanked God for something. Now, let me make a suggestion. You have learned biblical thanksgiving when you've learned to thank God from a hospital bed. You see, I think so much of our thanksgiving is based on custom or circumstances. And it biblical thanksgiving is so much more than that. It's not based on some custom we learn. It's not just based on good circumstances. It's based on every circumstance. That what this is really getting at is that we have a joyful, grateful heart. And we thank God in every situation. So if you've learned to thank God when you've lost everything, then you've learned biblical thanksgiving. I read the story that was written by a retired U.S. Marine general. He tells of a time when he was an unbeliever and he was confronted with the testimony of a person who really knew Jesus Christ. Here's the way he describes it. 35 years ago, I was a young second lieutenant, just graduated from the Naval Academy, married 14 days after I graduated. My wife and I went down to Virginia, the home of the basic school where officers learned about honor and courage and commitment. At that time in my life, I thought I was a cross between John Wayne and Tom Cruise. Because I was married, I shared a room with another married officer named John Listerman. John was a wonderful human. He just oozed goodness. If I'd asked him for his arm, he would have asked, where do you want me to cut it off, at the wrist or the elbow? John was a Christian. That meant nothing to me. He was a nice guy. I guess this Christian stuff must be pretty good, he thought. Upon graduating from basic school, John and I went to Camp Pendleton in California. where we joined the battalion preparing to go to Vietnam. I saw another side of John. He was a tremendous leader, aggressive, technically proficient. People loved him. He was committed to his troops. His troops were committed to him. He was a Marine. On a December morning in 1965, I went to war. John did too. His war lasted one day. We were on patrol, moving down a trail. We came across a corner in the trail, and we ran into an ambush. John took the first round, a 50 caliber round, right in his kneecap. As his kneecap burst, the crack was so loud it sounded like a mortar exploding. They threw him up in the air. As he was coming back down, a second round hit him just below the heart, exiting out of his side. I was wounded also, but nowhere nearly as bad as John. I saw John 30 meters away on his back, his leg blown off. I crawled up to him, and I wanted to say, "Are you okay? Can I do anything?" But before I could do that, his head turned to me and he said, "How are you doing? Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, John, I'm okay." And he said, "Are my men safe?" And I said, "Yes, John, your people are okay." At that point, he turned his head to the sky and he repeated over and over, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for caring for my people. Thank you for caring for me." The author says I was dumbfounded. And by the way, they were both evacuated, and the general became a Christian. Why? Why? Because he saw some believer flat on his back with two bullets in his body who could say, "Lord, thank you. In everything, give thanks." When you're laying on a hospital bed, when you've got bullets in your body, when you're flat on your back, you can thank God in everything. Biblical thanksgiving comes spontaneously from a grateful heart that thanks God in every situation. I think what I'm trying to say to you today is thanksgiving is not, from a biblical point of view, an annual event. It's a daily event. Many times during the day. And you learn to thank God for little things. Oh, hear me. When you're looking at life from a biblical point of view, you can thank God for the smallest thing. And that, I submit to you, is what we ought to do. There was a man named Charnock. He lived during the time that Napoleon ruled over France. But he got arrested as a political figure because he made a remark accidentally that presumably left to die as days and weeks and months passed by. He became embittered in his fate. Slowly but surely, he began to lose faith in God. And one day, in a moment of rebellious anger, he scratched on the wall of his cell, "All things come by chance." Justice that he had felt that had come his way by chance. He sat in the dark cell, growing more bitter by the day. There was one spot in the cell where a single ray of sunlight came every day and remained for a little while. One morning, to his absolute astonishment, he noticed that there in the hard earthen floor of that cell was a tiny green blade of grass breaking through the dirt. It was something living, struggling up toward that shaft of sunlight. It was his only living companion. His heart went out in joy toward it. He nurtured it with a tiny ration of water. He cultivated it and encouraged its growth. That green blade became his friend. It became his teacher, in a sense. And finally, it blasted through until one day it bloomed into a little plant, a beautiful purple and white flower. Once again, he found himself thinking about God. He scratched off the wall what he had scribbled before, and in its place he put, "He who made all things is God." Somehow, through the guards and their wives and the gossip community, that little story reached the ears of Napoleon's wife. She was so moved by it, she convinced Napoleon that this man was not a dangerous criminal, and she persuaded him to let him go. So he was set free. You can be sure that when he left that prison, he took that little flower with him and cultivated that plant for years to come. He also pondered in his heart a verse that he put on that little flower pot that was holding the plant. The little verse said, "If God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now, the reason I told that story is this bitter man got turned around because he became thankful for a little blade of grass. What I want to do today is change the way you think about life. I want you to look at life from a biblical point of view and say every good and perfect gift comes from above, and in everything I can thank God from the heart. So let me ask you, did you ever thank God your car started? I have. Because on a few occasions in my many decades of living, my car hasn't started. Matter of fact, I have found myself doing that more and more. I thought it wasn't going to start a few days ago, and it reminded me. So I put the key in the ignition, and I thank God it starts. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. In everything, give thanks. This will come as no surprise to you, but after the car starts, I thank God I can drive. Because I had an experience a few years ago with a spinal cord injury, and I couldn't drive until I finally had my car rigged up with hand controls. So trust me, driving is a good gift from God. And I thank God for it. Last week I had an unusual experience. I was sitting in a chair. I go through this routine every day. I put on my sock. And as I was putting on my sock, I had a flashback. I remember being in the hospital at UCLA, 5 weeks in in-house physical therapy. I remember the day when one of those nurses said, "Now you got to put on your own sock." And I tried to put on my sock, and I couldn't. My toes were so twisted and warped, I couldn't get on the sock. I remember sitting on the side of the bed thinking, am I going to have somebody put my socks on for the rest of my life? So trust me, it's easy for me to thank God for the sock and the ability to put it on. Do you ever thank God for that kind of stuff? If you're looking at life from a biblical point of view, you understand that every good and perfect gift comes from above, so that in every circumstance of life, you can thank God for something. Now the text is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've taught 1 Thessalonians in my lifetime several times. Matter of fact, we just went through that book recently ourselves. Remember that? You do remember that. But I must confess to you that I saw something in this passage that I've never seen before. It happened this morning in the Sepulveda Pass. I was in the car alone thinking about the sermon today and this passage. And then it hit me. Wow, I'd never seen that before. Look at the passage again. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Do you find that hard to do? I mean, how much time lapses between your prayers? You want me to do, get a prayer list and memorize it? And run around thinking about this prayer list all day long? And then it hit me. Read these two verses together. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Maybe the key to praying without ceasing is giving thanks for everything you see, for everything you experience all day long, because he says, in everything, give thanks. Would that change things? So I submit to you that biblical thanksgiving is not dependent upon circumstances, but it comes from the heart in all circumstances. So let me just close by underscoring those points. It needs to come from the heart. That's the key to this. It's the way you look at life. It's internal, not external. And that's the key to biblical thanksgiving. Someone has written, if one would give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my eyes and search for them with my fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and now it would draw to itself those invisible particles to me. It would do it automatically. The author goes on to say, the unthankful heart, like my fingers in the sand, discovers no mercy. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as a magnet finds iron, so it will find every hour some heavenly blessing that they could thank God for. God's sand is full of iron, and the grateful heart finds it. So, have I made myself clear today? Is this text alive today? I want you to walk out of here with one thought, I pray, changes your perspective. And that is biblical thanksgiving. Looking at life from a biblical point of view recognizes that every good and perfect gift is from God. So you can in everything give thanks. One author wrote it in a book like this. I'm having to exercise faith in dealing with the prison of pain. Unexpectedly, I suffered a severe cervical spinal injury. The pain was so excruciating, the hospital staff couldn't even get me into the MRI until they had sufficiently sedated me. The MRI showed significant damage at three major points in the cervical area. The surgeon's assistant later told me, Bob, your neck is a wreck. He said, There was hardly any way I could avoid surgery. Because of the swelling, the injured nerves bundled, and the only way I could relieve the pain was to use a strong prescribed narcotic and to lie on a bags of ice. Sleep, what little there was, came only by sitting in a reclining chair. Approximately 48 hours from the onset of the injury, doctors estimated that I lost 80% of the strength in my left arm. Three fingers of my left arm, my left hand, totally lost feeling. Even the slightest movement could send pain waves hurling down the left side and shoulder. To add insult to injury, the physician said I had to step out completely from work, which I love, and begin to wear a neck brace 24 hours a day for 5 weeks. About halfway through that experience, I found myself sitting on the screen in porch behind our house. The day was cold and blustery, but I was committed to being outside just for the change of scenery. Suddenly a bird landed on the railing and began to sing. On that cold, rainy day, I couldn't believe that any creature had reason to sing. I wanted to shoot that bird. But he continued to sing, and I had no choice but to listen. The next day found me on the porch again, but this time the atmosphere was bright, sunny, and warm. I sat there being tempted to feel sorry for myself. Suddenly the bird, at least it looked like the same one, returned. He was singing again. "Where's that shotgun?" I thought. Then an amazing truth hit me. The bird sang in the cold rain and in the warmth of the sun. His song was not altered by outward circumstances, but it was constant by an internal condition. It was though as if God quietly said to me, "You've got the same choice. You can either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude will rise above the circumstances. Bob, your choice." Let's pray.